And the beat goes on, yo, mama, I'm in fear for my life of the long arm of the law. Heen Man is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Hi, Jod's L.A. Thanksgiving week. Coming to Monday. Had the week off. They give us a week off out here for Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. I'm the coach. Man without country. This was the first Friday night where we didn't have a game. I refused to go to any other high school games to watch teams that are still participating. Although every team in our league got blown out this week, it kind of puts a damper on your season. You look at all these teams and you just realize, we had a good season, but I don't think we played anybody that good. That's high school football. Football in general. Play, it's all a function of the teams you play, and if you're better than them, you have a great season. It's not like the pros where there's a be-all, end-all. It's just find teams to that you can beat, go out and beat them. But I'm an assistant coach on the wrestling squad. I was talked into it by the wrestling coach at that school. I told him, I was quite honest with him up front. I said, I have no wrestling, amateur wrestling experience. My expertise is all in the pro game, pro wrestling. I see. And so that was fine. Then the other day, one of the first days of practice, I tried to teach the kids a leg drop, Hogan style, and he didn't go for that, which I didn't understand. Because Hulk Hogan had tremendous success with the leg drop. I don't know, countless championships won with that very move. Evidently, in amateur wrestling, it's not that easy to pull off. I digress. The head coach isn't going to be there tomorrow. I'm thinking about trying to teach him the figure four. I mean, geez, Ric Flair had tremendous success with the figure four. Although I don't think he ever beat anybody with the figure four. I don't think he ever beat anybody good with the figure four. Yeah, I don't know. It's this amateur wrestling stuff. I mean, there's no ropes. Takes away the aerial game. I mean, there are no splashes, no flying elbows. Amazing. I don't know what the head coach is going to do when I try to distract the referee and slip the kid a chair. I don't know if he'll go for that. But it's an example of how the pro game is just vastly superior to the amateur game. Wrestling's a good example. But it's fun. I like coaching wrestling because of the fact that parents can't complain. Well, they can, they will, they do. But if one kid is better than the other kid at that wrestling class, he beats him, he plays. See, in football, the head coach of my high school team this year was assistant under. After the game, he would get literally 50 text messages. Literally 50 text messages. Why is my kid not getting the ball? Why is my kid not playing? With wrestling, screw it. That's the kid. You go out. It's on you, kid. So it's an experience. I'm enjoying it. Enjoying my free time a little bit, though I get bored really easily. So Friday night I spent watching all types of JFK documentaries. You couldn't escape the JFK madness this week. Bottom line, if you think JFK was killed by someone else other than Lee Harvey Oswald from the book depository by himself, you're a goddamned fool. Look at the evidence. Everything else is just pie-in-the-sky conspiracy theory. That's where the conspiracy theories against the U.S. government really started right then. You know, the whole Jack Ruby thing. Jack Ruby was a freaking speed freak. Speaking of speed freaks, JFK was a speed freak. Book I read called, what is it? I can't even think of the name of it. First Rate Madness. Talking about how JFK was a sick man. Literally, yeah, like Addison's disease. Look it up. But it was like, it's almost like a chronic fatigue thing. But bottom line, JFK was shot up with all types of for lack of a better term, methamphetamines, liquid coke, just to get him going. And they say, at least this author, and it makes sense, that it shot his libido through the roof. It's funny if people get away with it. JFK was a scumbag. Look, yeah, I'm from Massachusetts. My father's a huge Kennedy guy. Teddy, we don't even get into him. JFK was a scumbag. The guy had like 20 different women that he would bring into his pool. He had a pool at the White House that evidently Richard Nixon covered over. But he had a pool at the White House, and every day they would bring in a different woman for him. JFK is one of those guys that probably, if he had lived, I'm sure he would have, his character would have been called into question. They say he was about to get called into question anyways, about to drop right before he died. I digress. Went to go see Pearl Jam this weekend at the LA Sports Arena. It's a nice little venue, although they charge $10 a beer. Everybody's dressed in USC gear. I didn't even know that place was owned by USC. Good show, though. Good times, but I miss it already. 1 week. Already got this huge hole need to fill with football. Although, thank goodness, Thursday, Thanksgiving, filled with games. Moving on, let's talk about the college game. Then I want to make a phone call to the frozen tundra of Nashua, New Hampshire. Talking the college game because I was at the Pearl Jam concert. I only got to watch one game, and I was glad I got to watch Texas A&M LSU. Gone on record before talking about how much I feel about Johnny Manziel, but the LSU Tigers and Les Miles got after him. I just think LSU runs a better brand of football. And they're sitting there talking, oh, 70s style football. But I don't know. Johnny Manziel, he got heated up. That's what happens when you go empty formations, and you put everything in one guy's hand. If that guy's not playing well or the weather is inclement, you're screwed. That's it. You live and die by it. However, that's what they have to do. I hope Kevin Sumlin does not become the next coach at USC. It's got to be Ed Orgeron at this point. Kevin Sumlin just got the best quarterback on the freaking planet for NCAA, amateur quarterback. Letting it ride. Style makes fights, though. Gary Danielson, who I like, him and Lundquist, the Lundquist game, the grizzled veteran. A great quote, and he said, "College is what I love about college football. They're just good enough and just bad enough to make the games interesting. To see a lot more blown coverages." All right, enough is enough. I got to go to the phone lines. Slush in Nashua, New Hampshire, with some hot takes from the frozen tundra in Nashua, New Hampshire. What's up, guy?
Coach, how you doing?
I'm all right. How's things going up there? You still live in that same spot?
Still up the same spot, yep. Getting pretty cold up here, though.
Poor thing. Oh, I know. I watched the game last night, and I said to myself at least four times I had no interest in being at that game.
Yeah, neither did Peyton Manning.
Oh, man. What do you think about that one?
Well, I mean, I quit on them, and they didn't quit on themselves, so it's pretty impressive. I mean, you got to give them points for having heart, at least.
You quit on them?
I mean, that was atrocious.
You've been watching this team play forever. You know in the last 12 years, that's... They always make the games interesting one way or the other. Well, how many real stinkers, you can count them on one hand in the last 13 years where the Patriots just rolled over?
That's true, but 24-0 at half is pretty strong, man. I mean, they dug a pretty big hole there.
Yeah, well, they got out of it.
My take on it, the one thing I take away from it is, one, that, you know, the good perseverance there, but two, that Ridley, we can't afford to keep Ridley as a running back. I mean, it's just, I'd rather get what we can get with Bolden and just try to hold on to the ball because he's a momentum killer.
Forget Bolden. How about Vereen?
Well, Vereen, I mean, I like him. They use him in the passing game. I don't know if they want to have him on every, you know, take every carry and then have him be a, you know, three down back. I don't know if that's their plan for him.
You really ready to quit on Ridley?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I tell you what, and that sealed it because he's clearly the most talented runner once he has the ball in his hand on our team. And I think he's probably top five or six in the league. I mean, he makes 7-yard runs out of 2-yard runs all the time. But the thing is, man, he's got 3 fumbles in 3 games now. I mean, it's habitual. And I think he's getting worse, not better. You know, he's taking a step backwards. So if he can't coach this out of him, at the very least, you got to bring someone into camp next year, threaten him, turn the heat up on him a little bit.
I don't know, man. I think some of it's just shit luck, to be honest with you. I mean, I saw a complete missed block, and the guy put the helmet square in the ball. You know, I mean,
his numbers happening a lot, though, man. It's pretty consistent, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. But you were ready to write off Tom Brady 3 weeks ago as well, so.
That's true. write him off is a strong word. I don't think I said write him off. I just said I think we're starting to see the wear on him and that he's declining. But I didn't write him off. I'd still rather have him than virtually every other quarterback in the league, even at this stage.
Oh, there's nobody else I'd rather have. Nobody else I'd rather have. I watched the Peyton Manning press conference twice yesterday just to hear him say, disappointed, disappointed. He freaking said disappointed 10 times in a row. It's great. And the two quarterbacks, this is all you need to know about the two. After the game, you look at Brady, the dude looked like he just rolled off the beach in Malibu, even though it's, what, freaking 14 degrees out there. And man, had the red forehead and the red nose. He looked like me coming out of that game, you know, and Brady just looked as smooth as possible.
Looks like Lee Harvey Oswald after you get arrested. That's what that guy looks like.
Oh, man. You have some hot takes on the pregame shows and referees?
Well, I tell you what, we'll go to the pregame show first. I can't take it anymore. I used to like the pregame shows. I used to get excited to it, you know, get up, watch my pregame, and I can't even take it anymore now. It's just Mickey Mouse bullshit, man. It doesn't matter what network you go to. It's some gimmicky Mickey Mouse bullshit. Everyone's clowning around, and I can't even take it anymore, man.
I've completely shut off ESPN. But you can't get away from them. They're a friggin' disease. You can't get away from ESPN. I go to Fox, but even Fox freaking drives me nuts, too.
But yeah, CBS used to be the best one out there. I mean, poor Boomer Esiason looks like he's just going to roll his eyes every time it gets going.
Poor Boomer Esiason. Boomer Esiason looked like he's had one too many freaking Michelob Lights, kid. He's freaking busting at the seams.
Yeah, well, at least he's not the only guy out there. You know, he's not dancing and pulling up props every time he talks.
Oh, the ESPN crew is ridiculous. And then they start freaking speaking in tongues. You can't understand what they're saying. I can't stand Ray Lewis, but that, you know, he and I have a history.
I feel bad for Tom Jackson on ESPN, Kurt Warner on NFL Network, and Boomer Esiason on CBS, because as far as I can tell, those are pretty much the only people that want to be professional and talk about football.
Straight journalists. Everyone else wants to freaking clown around and bring in bells and whistles.
Yeah, exactly. It's an absolute clown shoes production out there.
Adding Randy Moss to the mix in replace of the great Howie Long for the week, that didn't really help.
Straight cash, homie.
I like Randy Moss, though, you know? Shit, but that was ridiculous. He was stuttering over himself like he just had some purple drink. Woo!
A little scissor.
Wait a minute. Let's get back. Let's get grounded here.
The other thing I can't take, man, and it's just becoming painfully obvious, is the penalties and the flags in this league are, you know, they want to talk about all these game-winning drives, but really, how many game-winning drives happen without pass interference calls?
And then, and then you look at that, from 2 weeks ago, I mean, it feels like forever ago, it was only a week ago, the freaking Carolina, I mean, What the fuck? How they picked that flag up? You know, that's not the reason they lost that game, but Jesus Christ, the guy tackled him in the end zone, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and my problem with it, you know, whether the penalty was or not, okay, whatever. I mean, I was pretty happy that New England just played four quarters of football in that game. They missed a couple plays. They missed three or four plays that lost them the game. It wasn't that penalty. But what bothered me is, you know, I wanted to listen to a little media. I wanted to hear some analysis. Let's hear some X's and O's, what did everyone think about New England. And it's like, you know, 2 weeks of everyone talking about a single flag.
Yeah.
I mean, is this what the league wants? Every game now, they don't talk about the game. They don't talk about the strategy. They don't talk about anything other than whether a call was controversial or not. And it's just, it's really taken away from the product, you know, in my opinion.
On that same note, watching that game last night really freaking drew me off sides is both teams, every fucking pass play was a pick route by one freaking receiver freaking running into another DB, and they would just arbitrarily call it at random times. I mean, but every play they were doing it. You know? I mean, how do you... It's funny. There are coaches that tell offensive linemen to hold every play and dare referees to call it. And I think that's the same thing you're seeing with these pick routes. They're just saying, okay, run into the DB and pick them off and dare the referee to make the call. And you know what? I don't think the referees do want to make those calls.
Well, I don't know if it's a mandate that comes down from up on high on, at the frequency that they call them, or if it's incompetence. Because what I think is that these players, I mean, they hear the crowd roar and they think in their head, oh, there must have been a penalty. I should throw it, even if they didn't think they saw one or not. I mean, the crowd kind of influences it. I feel like, too, the players, every single play, they're lobbying for a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Every single play. And I think sometimes they effectively lobby for it. And it's just there's too many influences. When it's that subjective, you know, I guess they're in a tough spot too, because when to call, when or not. But they need to really work on this. They need to get some consistency there. And I feel like pass interference, you know, it's pretty well defined. Did you impede the guy's route? Did you interfere with him? And it seems like I don't remember it being thrown this much. And I don't think guys are interfering more or less than before. I mean, I think it's definitely just way more prevalent than it used to be. They are throwing that flag.
I tell you what, though, the Patriots have been doing it for years. You watch Talib play, he mauls people. You know, I don't care. I'm a defensive guy, really, but Talib freaking holds people on every single play.
Yeah, but you have to. I mean, there's a built-in advantage where the offense knows where they're going, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, the guy knows where he's running a route. I mean, you got to give him some leeway here, and now you can't fight it on the other end, right? I mean, you can't hit the quarterback. So really, where are you supposed to go? Where are you supposed to defend it? On what end of the play are you supposed to, you know, defend it? I don't know. They just paint them into a box, and they're rigging this shit towards the offense, and it's just getting unbalanced.
Oh, they've been doing this has been a league mandate for a number of years. Getting back to what you said about the crowd, though, there's a number of articles and a number of research out there that says that the referees, whether they're conscious of it or not, are being affected by the crowds, because that's just human nature, you know. People. There's a fucking whole thing about soccer, which, you know, just to prove the point, they say that fields with a track around it, you get less calls for the home team because the referees don't feel the presence of the fans as much. And there's definitely something about it. That Carolina game was a perfect example. That guy picked up that flag because he didn't want to get Reagan booed out of there, although Tom Brady did. That was classic Brady after that game, just going right after the referee. That's why I love the guy. He was going nuts.
Yeah, and they actually had to call a timeout just because of that. He went so nuts before when he didn't get a call, which I thought was a pretty flagrant pass interference where he did not get the call.
Right.
And then the one, you know, it's just so Mickey Mouse. It's so subjective, and like you said, it's arbitrary. I mean, there's no consistency whatsoever. I mean, I don't know how they address it, but I feel like they got to address it because to me, it stands out. I mean, I think they want these last-minute drives. But realistically, if you're getting the ball back with, you know, 38 seconds, what's the likelihood you're going to drive the field? And now with pass interference, you know, this is how they happen. I mean, that's what they want. They want people moving down the field with 38 seconds. It really shouldn't have happened. You should have, you know, used your time more effectively, called some times out, managed the ball better. They're taking that element out of it, you know?
The problem is, I agree with you 100%. The problem is, you can't fix it. It's part of it. It's human nature. You know what I mean? I mean, what are you going to put robots out there? You're going to put Cletus the Fox robot out there to again throw flags? You can't get rid of it. I don't know. I mean, it's just part of the things you bitch about and you deal with it. A question for you. I'm sure they made a big deal on EEI and freaking Comcast Sports today about Belichick and the wind and that whole freaking theory. What do you think about any thoughts on that?
I hated it. I hated it. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was idiotic was the exact word I used at the time. And it ended up working out for him. But I don't even necessarily think that call got him for it. I mean, it didn't end up hurting him. But you had already scored touchdowns. Tom Brady had already scored, driven the field twice into the wind. And for what they're saying, the wind had died down some. You're just basically saying, I don't believe in my offense to, you know, to march down and get seven. So I'm glad it didn't end up hurting them, but I thought it would still seem foolish to me.
I have two things on that. Two things I want to address with that. One, what really freaking bothered me was those captains looked very indecisive on what the hell to call. Was it me or is Ninkovich freaking calling to take the ball? Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't. You would think it's just talked over. Yeah, I don't know. They looked to the sideline like they didn't know what they were looking for.
That really got me. Yeah, I understand the point because of the new overtime rules, you have to score a touchdown, and you know, you take the chance. The odds of them driving the guy's going to kick in the end zone. The odds of them driving down scoring a touchdown are something like 30%. So I do understand that, But at the same time, you know, possessions. You know, I don't, I just think it's a talk radio thing, and what the hell, that's what this is. But, you know, it was an interesting call. They want to call Belichick a genius all you want, but fuck, I don't understand how on 3rd and 4, the first time they have the ball in OT, they try to throw a fade route on 3rd and 4 to 5'9" white boy Julian Edelman, and nobody talks about that. It's like, are you freaking kidding?
Well, I think that was supposed to go to Gronk, and he was totally bracketed, and he double covered, and there was no place to go, so he just tossed that one up there. I mean, I think that was the end of his progression. I don't think that's what that play was supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess. I knew Al Michaels called out Belichick, too, at the end of the half. I don't know if you remember the half. The Patriots ran a draw, called a timeout, and then ran another draw. And Al Michaels
was exactly right. Al Michaels was exactly right there, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm sick of the Belichick mantra. I think he's a good coach, obviously. I just think he's lucked out. But I've beaten that fucking dead horse. You know, we miss Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Now, there's a back that don't fumble.
That's true. The one thing I'll say about Belichick, though, what he does, he still does great. I mean, the schmucks we have on defense that get it done every year, I truly believe that is up to him. I mean, I do think that they ran 280 yards on us, or 250 yards, because he conceded the run and took other things away. So, I mean, Manning was frustrated. The middle of the field was gone. So I do think that, you know, him as a GM, you know, you know how I feel about that. I don't think the guy can draft worth a shit. But in terms of defensive scheming, I think he's probably second to none in the league.
Well, the problem is they have two freaking white boy D-tackles, third-string backup D-tackles that are just getting pushed off the ball every play.
They're getting blown out. And they're really, I mean, it's not that they've been horrible. I think they've filled in admirably, but they're just, you know, they're not stars, man. And, you know, losing Kelly and Wilfork like that, those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and it who knows? So, hey, you got to be pleased with the season so far, though. You know, they're entertaining. They've nothing. They're fun to watch. They, you know, you don't know what you're gonna get with them. Who knows what's gonna happen next week? Who are they playing? Someone bad, right?
Well, they're certainly more balanced than they were. So, and what did all when we were the offensive juggernauts? What did it really get us? You know, as soon as that offense would sputter a little bit, as soon as we get a little grit in our gears, it wouldn't work. Maybe this one, you know, maybe it's just a better design to go the distance now.
They won when they won Super Bowls. They pounded Antoine Smith, they pounded Corey Dillon, they play action with Tom. Tom was throwing about 22, 25 times a game, and if he needed to go down the field and win the game, they did. Now, they come out empty formations on first down, try to throw the ball. You know, I don't know, but what are you going to do? I'm so sick of these people, like, oh, I can't wait, you know, I'm going to tell my grandkids about Tom Brady playing. Yeah, like they're really going to fucking care in 30 years about Tom Brady playing where they can peel their eyes off their freaking iPhone 16 and again, listen to stories about Tommy Brady. But greatest quarterback of all time.
They're going to care. This dude, this cat's cooler than Namath, dude. What are you talking about? They're going to care.
I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I've said it, and I continue to say it. You, what do you think?
I mean, I think he's definitely making it. If he gets one more Super Bowl under his belt, it won't even be a discussion. That's he gets one more under there, and he'll hold that spot.
Last question, prediction: Chemsed Lions, Barica Indians. Are they still the Indians?
As far as I know, yeah, I still think they are. Yes, I don't think Chelsea struggled this year. I can't say I followed them too much, but as far as I know, I think they've had a kind of a tough year. I have no idea what Bill Rick has done.
You gonna go?
I don't know. It kind of depends on the mercury level, man. If it's 15 below, there's no need for that.
Peel your ass out of friggin' Nashville and go ahead and go drink some friggin' Dr. McGillicuddy's and Dunkin' Donuts coffee, kid, and sit in the freaking stand.
I don't know if I got that in me anymore.
Hey, talk about
I don't know if I got the fire.
Talk about your JV freaking and your Friday nights where you'd be sitting on the sidelines freaking eating nachos while the game was going on, while your brother's out there running around.
I don't know if I have the hunger anymore.
Lost the fire, kid. Lost the freaking 2-point stands in the DN position.
Yeah, it might be true. Might be true.
Hey, stay warm, kid. I'll talk to you later. I'm going to be home in a couple weeks. Later.
Take care.
Moving on. Still got some college stuff I want to talk about. I can't believe we're almost in December and we're still dealing with Alabama Chattanooga. We're still dealing with Florida State, Idaho. We're still dealing with North Carolina, 80, Old Dominion, 20. It's a flaw in the system. Why are they doing this to us? Why is the NCAA doing this to us? They should have 10 league teams. Everyone should have 9 league games. It should play everybody in the conference. Fuck it. Move it to 12. Every conference should be 12. Play 11 league games. Have 2 non-league games. Should be local rivals. Florida losing to Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern didn't have 1 yard passing. Good for them. Georgia Southern's having a down year. Georgia Southern's a traditional powerhouse. And run option football and run it well. Go ahead. Hey, you got a caller. Hey, Telly. What's going on? Hey, Telly, go ahead.
Oh, hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, how you been?
Well, all right. The game went over.
Is this the famous Telly Two Putts?
It is.
Oh, give it to me. What do you got, kid?
Not much. I mean, to be honest, I thought next week's game, this coming week, was the bigger game. Is going to be the bigger game.
Which one?
The KC game coming up again.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know you're an Alex Smith fanatic, and I've seen the praise of Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith's a solid quarterback. I just don't know about Tamba and Houston going out, man.
Yeah, I don't know. The New England game, to be honest, I kind of expected them to drop that game, if you can believe it. I mean, even in Vegas, the game went off as New England as a favorite. But
was it?
Yeah, it started out at Denver -2.5, and it went off as New England -1.5 or -1.
Yeah, and you know these things up and down. I don't want to see the Patriots face Denver again. You kidding me? Especially with Denver getting what's his name Thomas back. You know, Champ Bailey. Who knows what they're going to get out of him? You know, these things happen. Patriots are tough to beat at home, and I don't think they're going to overtake them for a home field advantage. But you think KC is going to go out and get Denver this week?
No, not after Denver lost this game. But who knows? I mean, if Cromartie's out, we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how bad he's injured. So,
to tell you the truth, though, I don't know how much I've talked about it. I'm not a big Andy Reid guy. I think Andy Reid's just a retread. I think he's a little bit too conservative. I love Jamal Charles, but he needs to carry the ball more than 14 times a game, whatever he's carrying it. Dwayne Bowe's going to be gone. If he's not gone, he should be gone. What the fuck? The guy was caught smoking weed in his car the other day and asking the cop where Sonic was.
Yeah, but, you know, talent will get you a lot of free passes in life.
Oh, absolutely. Look at all these coaches, you know. You don't win without talent. A lot of good coaches lose with bad talent. A lot of bad coaches win with good talent.
Yeah, that's true.
How much?
I mean, this is
the
game. As long as Denver wins out,
I think
they'll still be a game ahead of New England, and that's all we need is a home field advantage.
Yeah, well, you know, that's true. That is huge, but you know, football, it's such a hard. That's why I don't gamble. When I do gamble, I lose. It's so hard to freaking tell. I mean, shit, Denver should have freaking beat Baltimore last year. Who the hell could freaking, you know, that was just a fucking fluke thing. I mean, what kind of safety lets that happen? You know.
I know. You know what? Raheem Moore, a lot of people in Denver hate him. All my friends hate him. I like the guy. He plays hard. He hits. You know, he's one of the hardest hitters in the league.
Oh, but yeah. He's been out, though, hasn't he? How long has he been out?
He went out 2 weeks ago, and I don't think he'll be back.
Really?
From what I heard. Yeah.
I don't know why they don't go out and get Kerry Rhodes, because everybody's blackballing him because supposedly he's gay. You been following that one?
No.
Kerry Rhodes, a great safety, well, really good safety, and he's been blackballed from the league. There's a bunch of articles on it, but supposedly no one wants him because he's gay.
Shit. Bring him here. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't know, man. And, you know, I know there was some people questioning Von Miller. Von Miller showed up last night.
Yeah, he did. He did, finally.
And it's amazing, though, you know, a guy like Von Miller, one play, it looks like he cannot be blocked. And then, you know, they go away. Now, Nate Solder is a really good left tackle. But a couple times, he made Nate Solder look dumb. And then, I don't know. You got to pressure Brady. You just got to, you know, I know it's easier said than done, but you got to freaking bring the house at him, make him uncomfortable. That's the only way to beat him. And they didn't pressure him.
Denver quit running the ball. Really, I mean, granted, they had the turnovers, so that changed the second half. But they really quit running the ball. I mean, they still ran it a lot. But once they got it, they would run it the first few plays, and then they just started passing and kind of stuck to that. And they would start running early in a drive and then stop and just go to passing.
I tell you what, Sean Moreno made a fan here last night. That freaking guy was brilliant. You see that gouge in his arm that he had? You can almost freaking see you can see his mom. The guy brought it. When I was working at Penn State, they were going to recruit him, but Joe thought he was too small to recruit. They said no, Sean Moreno was too small. He wanted to go there. And they take him, but that fucking guy's tough, man. You know how hot it is to freaking do anything in 13-degree weather? And that guy freaking battled. You know, and then they put Monte Ball in, and he fumbled, right?
Yeah. That's his hang-up. That's, I can't remember the kid from San Diego State. That's his hang-up, too. He fumbled all the time.
Last question. Let me get your opinion on one thing. I've been asking a lot of people, if you could throw a percentage, how much do you think Peyton's calling his own plays?
Now, probably 70%.
Do you think so? You think he's calling? Yeah. He's audible and everything?
Yeah, I think so. I heard Del Rio was kind of calling a few of them, but I bet you 70-80% he's calling them.
I've been saying for years, I don't know why they don't let Brady do it. I mean, that was commonplace. Now, granted, that was back in the day, but 70s, 80s, Jim Kelly, Boomer Esiason, those guys were calling their own plays, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Quarterback's on the field. He knows what he wants to do. And you've got a guy, special guy like Manning and Brady, 70%, yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair.
Yeah, but I don't know if you saw that stat yesterday, that the Broncos last week against KC, I think they had like 54% passes and 46% rushing. So, I mean, they're getting back to an even attack.
Peyton has always liked to run the ball. He's always, you know, and it's opened up a lot in the play action because it does. Because if you're going to put a guy in shotgun and just a guy who can't run like Manning, it's 11 on 10, you know, but then you put him in a center and you hand the ball off and then it sets up play action and everything. But, oh man, I don't know if you heard me talking earlier though. It was freaking like porn last night watching Peyton saying the word disappointment over and over again in that press conference. It was freaking disappointed in Papa John's, my franchise. Just going to enjoy it now this week because I have this really distinct feeling that they're going to be freaking hosting the trophy. You know, I think they're the best team in the league, unfortunately.
I think so too. And they came out with the power rankings and Denver ranked dropped to third. So
who's won? Seattle?
Seattle and then New Orleans.
Enough of that. Hey, thanks for the call. Anytime, my man.
Yeah, no worries. Take it easy, coach.
All right. Let me get to these games real quick. Time flies when you're having fun on a Monday night. Talk about the Battle of the Long Brothers. That was kind of funny. You know, I've expressed my admiration for Howie Long, Milford, Massachusetts' own Howie Long. He got his two brothers in there, and his big brother comes in and pulls little brother off the pile for a fight. Is he going to be suspended? I mean, those are kind of extemporary, special circumstances. You know, I mean, he's trying to pull his brother out of a fight, but you can't leave the bench. I don't know if the NFL's got the same rules as the NBA, but he ran out there, pulled him out of there. Kind of genetic stock, Howie Long just breeds him. Breeds football players. Kind of like the Rams, though. Well, not like them, but respect them. Tavon Austin, we live in this day and age where a rookie comes in, and if he doesn't produce in the first year, second year, or the first few games, he's a bust. Tavon Austin is a freaking beast. The guy is electric. He's only the second player in the history of football, the NFL, to have 4 50-yard-plus touchdowns in over two-game period, him and Gale Sayers. Pretty lofty company. Punt return, run, reception for over 60 yards, touchdowns. First guy to do that since 1960. It's like all this bullshit with Kaepernick and Griffin, yeah, they've had down years, but what are they, 21 years old? I mean, what was it the day when rookies didn't even start? I like Kaepernick's in his third year, though. I could be wrong. I'm just rambling. But he's a young guy. You got to give these guys some opportunity. But in this day and age of instant gratification, they're not producing now. They're a bust. Tavon Austin, great player, although he's little. See how long he lasts. No substitution for speed. That's why Teddy Ginn, can't believe Teddy Ginn doesn't tear it up every week. But when he gets a chance, he does play well. Carolina, Riverboat Ron. Keep on rolling. Roll, Ronnie, roll. I think that'd be great. I just look like he's one of those coaches standing on the sideline and be like, go for it. I think Ed Orgeron's the same way. Finding that's a formula. Go for it. Screw it. Just walk to the sideline. Go for it. Because I think, the stats you read, even though I'm not a huge fan of that stuff, they talk about how you go for it. And you go for it all the time if it's, fourth and four or less. Go for it. Tampa Bay. Don't even sell me that Shiano's going to be able to save his job, but I think he's gonna. Look, Tampa Bay's a talented team. And Mike Glennon, I think, is decent. Again, he's a rookie. But he seems like he's all right. He's got a good, he's got poise. He's big. He drives the ball down the field. They play defense. Matt Stafford again. Terry Bradshaw's favorite. Matt Stafford. Four picks. To recap, Terry Bradshaw called Matt Stafford the best quarterback the quarterback he'd want more in football than anyone else. Speaking of a quarterback I want, even though they lost, Matty McGloin. Matty McGloin looked good yesterday in the loss for the Raiders. I think he's a guy you can go with. Matt McGloin, only two quarterbacks in the history of the NFL in their first career starts with three touchdowns and no interceptions. Matty McGloin and Todd Marinovich. Only quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. But McGloin fell short, but I think he's a guy. He's just got that certain je ne sais quoi, that certain X factor, that I think is going to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. How about the end of the Raiders game? I don't know if you saw it today. A lady tried to jump off the balcony and kill herself. I don't know why you do that. Bright days ahead for the Raiders in the Matty McGloin era. Arizona, I think they're for real. And I think Indianapolis is not for real. And even though a couple weeks ago, I think it came out here and talked about Indianapolis, they've been getting blown out in the first half, the last 4 weeks. And I think Bruce Arians is a good coach. And for Christ's sake, somebody get the ball to Larry Fitzgerald. It's a shame. I think the most talented receiver in the league, him and Calvin Johnson, 1A, 1B. Carson Palmer, guy's all right. They made Indianapolis look stupid yesterday. Arizona could be a long shot. Who knows? Who knows in this league? I do know this. Dallas and New York, one of the rare times I pull for the Cowboys to win because I just want the Giants out of it. Sick of Eli. Sick of Eli face. Sick of Eli for Peyton face. Hope they're not. Yeah, I'm sure they're not listening. What else? Geno Smith, she looked awful. Baltimore Jets, ain't significant game. Another thing I want to touch upon. How about the referee, Roy Ellison, suspended one game for using foul language. And Trent Williams and the Redskins. It's an interesting thing because Ellison claims that Trent Williams threw an N-bomb on him. And like I talked about before, generationally, and Trent Williams says, I didn't do it. I think they just throw the word out sometimes and have no idea what they're even saying. Older black gentlemen like Roy Ellison hears that word. Shit, he should be pissed. He should be able to defend himself. Referees are just freaking whipping boys. They're just freaking pincushions. They're supposed to sit there and take a human. Just be able to fight back. Who cares? He used a little bit of foul language to Trent Williams. Ergadol and his holier than now. Sanctimony. You see, the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which is I don't even know what the hell they do, but they've had this big press conference or this big symposium trying to plead to the NFL players to stop using the N-word. Brian Gumble comes out and he's bashing players using the N-word. Don't want to spend too much time on it. I've already ran this race. But it is too late. The generation has changed. The kids don't know. And then you say kids, 23, 24 years old. Some, I mean, these guys in the NFL were born in what? 90? 1990? I mean, they're what, 4 years old when Enter the Wu-Tang and The Chronic came out? You have no sense of history. They don't know who Rosa Parks is. They don't know who Martin Luther King is, other than the fact they get a long weekend. The paradigm has shifted. Now, I say, you know, hey, it's not to say you can't discourage it, but ain't going to work. Sorry. Jacksonville finally gets a win, another win. Jacksonville putting something together. Houston should just bottom out and get Johnny Football. I would be really intrigued to watch Johnny Manziel play in a pro-style system with bootlegs, getting the ball in the center, with bootlegs, play action, the ability to get to the edge and throw the ball instead of just putting him in empty and going five wides and letting him just run around. I'd be interested to see if somebody really coaches him up. Now, here's the thing with that. If Houston gets him, I think Kubiak is out. I think Kubiak in that system needs more of a Russell Wilson type, a guy who can force the edge out of the play action. But when you put those stiffs like Matt Schaub and even Case Keenum to a lesser extent, the bootleg, there's no run threat. Whereas a guy like Russell Wilson and what Slick Pete's doing up there, Wilson, when the play breaks down, can get out and go. I think Manziel can be the same way. I think Manziel gets in that type of system, that's where you can be successful instead of just putting him out there in five wides and letting him go. Green Bay, Minnesota in a tie. Awesome. Pre-game, Kurt Menefee and Fox, a low blow. Sometimes these announcers get passive-aggressive, but he just mentioned something of how Green Bay should have done a better job with their backup quarterbacks. Basically saying Scott Tolzien sucks, which he may. But hey, that was their, you know, how many great backup quarterbacks are you going to go out and find other than Matty McGloin? I'm sick of these pundits, these heads, the Skip Baylesses of the world. Skip Bayless claiming these, he'll never forget watching, what was it, the Cowboys? Who was it, the Cowboys played somebody after JFK was assassinated. Pete Rozelle claims that was his biggest regret. Yeah, that's your biggest regret? You must have led a pretty charm life, Pete Rozelle. You think JFK really didn't want him to play the games? I mean, it's a fucking game. It's Dallas, Cleveland. It's funny, back then, Dallas comes into town to Cleveland, and the Cleveland bellhops at the hotels would refuse to carry their bags. Nowadays, if that happened in a city, you'd be like, Dallas strong! Dallas shit kicking! We're Dallas! Back then, it was like, boo! Skip Baylor. Oh, I watched that game. None of those games were televised. Sorry, Skip. False memories. I don't know why they keep these people on. Just to put a burr under the saddle of clowns like me who actually watch these guys and get upset, want to throw shit at the TV. They just fill them up with these contrarians. CFL. Saskatchewan. Rough Riders. 45, Hamilton Tiger Cats, 23. I don't know why the CFL plays game the championship game on an NFL Sunday. Is this just the arrogance of the Canadians? Can they play it on Saturday? Why do they put it on national TV? You know, why don't we get to watch it? Say we as Americans get to watch it. I tell you why CFL has never really caught on in America. The reasons I touched upon earlier. I don't think people like football as much as you think. I think people like the tribalism. I think people like rooting for someone. I think they like having teams that they can wear their gear. And then husband and wife can get married and throw their names in the back of their respective favorite team's jerseys. But I don't think people from a pure standpoint really enjoy watching those games. How about last night, half the stadium, well, about half, but a quarter of the stadium left Foxborough when it got to be 24-0. I don't blame them. 17 degrees out in the middle of Foxborough. Game gets over at 12:30 at night. It's terrible. Only way I would go to a game like that is if somebody, A, gave me a ticket, B, I didn't have to work the next day, and C, somebody else drove in. Have to be those three criteria, or I just wouldn't go. Much rather watch the game at home on a flat screen and fall asleep about 11:30 and get up and watch the proposed game. But going to those games, they're overrated. Getting back to the CFL, they were practicing in minus 11 degree weather with wind chill. And one of the practices for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, one of the playbooks or the book they had of plays, you know, for the scout team, froze and broke off. There were five footballs that went flat during practice. Tell you, playing in the cold is no joke. If you're playing every down, you get heated up real quick. But it's the guys like the punters and the long snappers and the backups that have been sitting all game, and all of a sudden, midway through the third quarter comes along and they throw them in the game. Those are the guys that it's almost a miracle that they can hold on to the ball. Especially, you know, the California kids or the kids who grew up in the South. It's tough. The ball becomes like a rock in the cold weather. Enough of the CFL. Watching pregame. Thanksgiving week. 20 years ago. Shit. My senior year in high school. There you go. I'm revealing my age. Thanksgiving my senior year in high school. The Leon Lett game. With Leon Lett, we had the same thing happen in our game. Ball gets blocked. Kick gets blocked. Defensive player comes and hits it. Let's go. We were too stupid to freaking take. Anyway, Leon Lett, we all seen it. Goes in, kicks, slides, kicks the ball. Miami picks it up, kicks a field goal. What I thought was hilarious about it was some little girl, some 10-year-old girl, wrote Leon Lett a letter after the game saying, "It's okay, Mr. Lett. We all make mistakes. Just last year, somebody in the Super Bowl was running for a free touchdown and started celebrating before they scored, and they got the ball knocked away." That was Leon Lett. The girl didn't know, and she sent him the letter. Poor Leon. Oh, Leon, good for Leon, though. He's an assistant coach now with the Cowboys. He had a great career. See how that happens sometimes. Johnny Bon Jovi. Supposedly he's a major player trying to buy the Bills. Be horrible. Not a Bon Jovi fan. I mean, yeah, we all like living on a prayer, I guess. Is John Bon Jovi know about football? He's buddies with Billy. How about that piece from a week ago, last Monday night? That piece that Rick Riley, another guy in Skip Bayless' vein, should be fired, just make shit up. Who likes these guys? Who likes Rick Riley? Just make stuff up, does a little piece on Bill's daughter, who's the lacrosse coach at Wesleyan. Big freaking whoop. I don't want to get into it, but let's just say Bill's daughter got the looks from his side. Hey, no. What else do we got? Oh, I want to talk college football. Got to get in the Twit bag. Sorry, time flies when you're having fun. Twit bag at Mamo Hita. Can't you take a mulligan on Super Bowl predictions? Who you got now? This is why Lurk came on at the beginning of the year and says, "I don't deal in hypotheticals." He's probably right. Who do I got now? Still sticking with the Patriots in the AFC, although I really think Denver's probably going to win it. Denver, New England, that's my pick. NFC, I so famously picked the Falcons, who are going to end up with a great pick, probably end up with Clowney, and we'll be there next year. For next year's preview, I'm getting a head start on it. NFC, I don't know. Is it too trendy to say Seattle? Carolina, I guess. Although there's still something about Carolina. I mean, they still got David Shula calling plays for him. Although, you know, I've always respected Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton's a ball. I think he's special. There you go. That's what I got. Patriots, Carolina. How about that? A rematch. And it'd be great. This would be a great year because it's in New York City. It'd be perfect to have the same weather conditions. We shall see. It'll be here before you know it, but it's a lifetime away. At Mr. Butter Chicken. How does NFL make money on the red zone? No ads. And it directly undermines network partners' license fees and sponsorship. How do they make enough money to offset that? Well, first of all, it's the NFL. They make billions anyway, so they, you know, they can take it that way. But check me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's like $45, $50 a subscription. Matter of fact, I know it is. It's like $50 a year. So that's how they make it. That's how they make their money, you know? And it's really, it's for the diehard fans who are putting money into it anyway. You know, people who watch Red Zone, 99% of the time are going to watch something else, watch the local game, the team that they pull for. They're going to watch that game with all the ads and all the junk. So I think that's how they make their money, you know? Maybe they take a loss, I guess, but shit, $50 a head. And anybody who's anybody, if they don't live locally and they have a team, like myself, they pay whatever it is. I don't even know what it is. It's on my freaking outrageous DirecTV bill. I don't even know how much money I spend on that, but I get the package. Like, you have to. Otherwise, well, sometimes you listen to games on the radio, which just is good. Cut out all the bullshit. Last question, at Stuart Scott's Eye. Have you seen any ripple effect from concussion panic at the high school level, i.e., rule changes, coaching style changes, and kids not playing? Biggest thing I've noticed from all this concussion hysteria is kids not playing. There's at least, a PE teacher as well, there's at least four or five kids in every one of my classes that I ask them, hey, why don't you play football? And they'll say, oh, my dad doesn't let me play football. My dad won't let me. My mom won't let me. I think it's always been that way. Have I seen outrageous changes? No. I think kids are a little bit less physical, but I think that's a whole different story. I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole about the emasculation of American society and all that, and how a lot of people so eloquently put it, a pussification of society. Yeah, I think that's all part of it. But I just think it's the kids not playing. However, I've talked about this before ad nauseum. Kids are always going to play. People are always going to play football. If they start a little bit later, so be it. I don't think you're going to see a product that's going to be any less. Team, you know, there's always going to be physical football teams. Physicality is how you win. Last thing I talk about before we leave, the shakeup in the BCS with Oregon getting blown out, which is surprising. Effectively eliminating Marcus Mariota from Heisman discussion. Texas A&M getting blown out. It's a little surprising, but not really. Effectively eliminating Johnny Football from the Heisman consideration. Baylor getting blown out. Eliminating them from national championship consideration. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with Florida State and famous Jameis. Last but not least, found DNA sample matching famous Jameis in the undergarments or what have you. Use your imagination of this young lady who is accusing Winston of sexual assault. I think the shit hits the fan. I talked about it last week. I think something happened. I prefer to think he didn't do anything, but who knows? It's left the Heisman in a complete conundrum. Right now, A.J. McCarron seems to be the favorite. If they go out and beat Auburn, which is a big if. Look, Alabama is due. As much as I respect Alabama and Nick Saban, they are due for a loss. You can't win them all. It's extremely difficult. Prolate spheroid bounces funny. They're due. Auburn could knock them off in a huge rivalry game. I don't know. Where does that leave anybody? BC running back? What's his name? Andre Williams? I forget. Guy's over 2,000 yards. He won't win it. I don't know, but that's why we watch the games. We'll see. Think it's going to be Bama or FSU? Florida State, Ohio State? Hey, if Auburn wins, they leapfrog into it. Interesting season? Always an interesting season. I just wish they eliminated these freaking games that don't matter. Alabama, Chattanooga, week 10. All right, that's about it. I know there's a bunch of stuff I left off. What are you going to do? I'm the coach. Follow us on Twitter at HodgeYardsLA. Email at HodgeYardsLA@gmail.com. We'll be back Sunday night, back at our normal time, Sunday night, 7 Pacific time, 10 Eastern, next Sunday night. I'm the coach. Later.
Rest the fence on my ligaments. Pistol grip up on my lap. Risking it, full life, giving it. Never giving it back, too late for slipping. So slack up on my lap, it's on your lips. So trap shot, a steel dick, walk flick for pump butts. All I'm saying ain't no question who the man is. In my civic, or in this show biz. I shoot a fool, kill a fool, come on, what you say? I think I take it all you motherfuckers, don't lay
pistol
my
pistol grip.
Just don't be part of one of them guns.
Aight, man.
Pistol grip. Pump on my lap at all times. Pistol grip. Pump on my lap at all times. Pistol grip. Pump on my lap at all times. They can be fucking with other niggas shit, but they can't be fucking with mine. Pistol grip. Pump on my lap at all times. Pistol grip. Pump on my lap at all times. Pistol grip. Pump on my lap at all times. They can be fucking with other niggas.
Fuck with other niggas shit.